You are listening to the Her Money Matters podcast, episode 21.
Welcome to the Her Money Matters podcast, the podcast to help you take control of your finances. Join your host, motivational money coach, Jen Hemphill, as she shares with you practical, simple money insights and real life stories by women like you. Let's get to it.
Hey you, it's Jen. It's exciting for me that you are here. You may be listening when you're going to on a walk or maybe a break at work, driving in the car, cooking, whatever it is. I truly appreciate you. Sometimes I feel like I sound like a broken record because I say it so many times, but I really mean it. That's why I continue saying it. And not only that, I applaud you, and not because you're listening to me, but rather because of your interest in better your personal finance. So I applaud you. Today, I have a fabulous guest for you, and you are going to have so much fun getting to know her. Here are what I thought were the main highlights of my conversation with our guest today. One of the highlights was the one financial challenge that she has that makes her feel super uncomfortable. She shares that. She also shares how she was once a computer science major and how that led into her love for the stock market and why she chooses her credit card over her debit card. She shares all about that. And she talks about what saving for her freedom was for her and why it was important. And she also shares the money book that has forever impacted how she sees and manages her finances. So let me tell you who she is, who our guest is. So our guest is Mabel Suriel. So I'll say it sometime. You'll see me saying it, pronounce it in Spanish. So just give you a heads up. Mabel, or Mabel, as you'll hear me say, has been passionate about the stock market and investing ever since she took a course during her junior year in college. Before this course, she had absolutely no clue what investing was, and she became intrigued immediately with the field and pretty much taught herself everything she currently knows about investing. And of course, she continues to learn. Mabel bought her very first stock in the middle of the financial crisis in 2008 and has not looked back since. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Finance and an MBA. She's passionate about teaching ladies that investing is something anyone can learn. You don't need any fancy degrees or certifications to do it successfully. If you understand basic math, that is all you really need. That's what she believes. So now let's go and meet this superstar. Welcome, Mabel, to the Her Money Matters podcast. I'm really excited to have you here.
Thank you, Jen. I'm so excited to be here with you and your awesome listeners.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, what's crazy is we recently connected, and what I really loved about you is your interest in all things investing, and plus the fact that you teach women and focus on teaching women this area was a win-win for me. Because one, for me, I love investing, but for me personally, the research, keeping up to date on all those matters, yeah. I liked someone else to do that for me. There's just so many things in my brain. I can only take so much. So I'm really, really excited to introduce you to the Her Money Matters audience. So today we're going to go ahead and get to know you better. So you ready to dive in?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Awesome. Awesome. So Mabel, or Mabel, for those of you that don't speak Spanish, because I know you mentioned to me prior to a recording that at work they call you Mabel. So I'm going to go in between Mabel and Mabel. I know you're the professional. We know your awesomeness. So tell me a little bit more about you. You know, the sister, the daughter, maybe the aunt. Tell me a little bit about that side of Mabel.
Sure. So, well, yeah, I was born in the Dominican Republic, actually. I moved to the United States when I was 9 years old, so about 20 years ago, 21 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So I lived all my life in the Bronx. So it's a part of New York City. I don't know if people are really familiar with it. And I went to school in Albany, New York, and then came back home. And I right now I live on my own in an apartment close to the Westchester area in the Bronx. I guess in my personal time, I love to work out. I enjoy, spending time with friends. It's like the working out thing is kind of what keeps me focused because, you know, my work can be stressful sometimes. So, you know, it's my time to let the stress go, stuff like that. So yeah. And just spending time, quality time with friends and family and stuff like that. So.
Awesome. Awesome. And I like that you work out. I'm big into working out. And you and I, even though I'm a little older than you, we moved to the States at this. I was 8.
Okay.
But it was more than 20 years ago.
Around the same age either way. So that's
it was.
Cool.
Yeah, we moved around the same age. It's just awesome. I've been here a little bit longer. Yeah. So tell me about how you grew up around money. So I know you have an interest in investing, but it came from somewhere. So tell me about how you grew up around money. What was, what were the family dynamics as far as the discussions, if there are any money conversations, those type of things. Let us know about that.
Sure. So to be honest, growing up, my family, like my parents never really talked to me about, specific any tips about money management or anything like that. I think most of what I learned growing up was from observing my dad and his actions towards money. So he's always been pretty cautious and pretty serious about his credit score and how he managed his own finances. So I always remember hearing him say, I never want to have a balance on my credit card, and even, just mentioning it to my mom, make sure you pay that in full, don't have any debt just lingering and, stuff like that. And, okay. And then when I was I think I was 17, right before I went away to college, she actually took me to a bank to open my first bank account, and he became a co-signer. So, during those times, you're really young, so they don't give you a credit card.
Right.
Under your name specifically. So what he did was I don't know what company he used, but he put his, I guess as a co-signer or something. I don't know if is that the right word for it?
Yeah, but yeah, he co-signed or added you to the account.
Yeah, so credit card, exactly. So, he just, I don't know if he had faith in me or whatever, but he just said, if you need this for emergencies, use it and, let me know. But, it wasn't really direct advice. It was just me observing him. And then when it got to a point that I got older, he kind of, gave me the tools to, go forward. But that was it.
Well, but that's actually a lot. I mean, they talked to you about not getting into debt and you, the actions that he took as far as managing his money, you were able to observe that. So, sounds like they set a good example for you. So
they did. Yeah. Even if maybe they didn't realize, or maybe they were doing it intentionally, but I guess they definitely did.
Right. Because, and you don't have kids, but kitten, I'm sure. But you've seen it, no matter how young the kids are, they see what the parents are doing, and the parents are setting an example so early on, and they just observe and are able to, they start doing what their parents are doing, essentially.
That's true, yeah.
So, and tell me, what would you say is the best money advice you've received?
I think the best money advice was, it came from a book, I would say, when I was around 21. And I guess I could say from my dad and from my book together, but it's pretty simple, but it's to save and to save young. I don't know if it's in my nature just to be a saver, and that's why I kind of took that advice to heart and actually did do that for the past, since I started working officially 10, 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I think that was the main thing I learned early on was to save and save early.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Awesome. And I meant to ask you a little earlier, when did your interest in investing come?
Okay. So this is I would say it was kind of random because I went into college my freshman year with the mentality that I would be a computer science major.
Oh, wow.
And,
different.
Yeah, but that only lasted a semester or even half a semester because, quite honestly, I took that first computer science 101 class and I had no idea what I was doing. So pretty much half through the semester, I dropped the class and I felt really sad and discouraged because, to be honest, like that was a field that I was growing up in the up and coming time where like the .com thing was going on and all that. So I wanted to be part of that. So I was devastated when I realized, this is really not for me. I don't understand it. So I have to find another field. So my one of my advisors told me, you know, try out the business school and see if you find the classes interesting and see if you like it. So I went to the business school, and it was, you know, and I like the classes. I like math since I was, you know, younger, so mm-hmm. I enjoy them. Accounting was one of my hardest classes, but somehow, by some miracle, I always tell people it was like a miracle of God that I passed my accounting classes. And then after all that, I actually took my junior year of college. I took a finance class, and it was called investment management or something like that.
Okay.
And that's when we started diving into stocks specifically. And I was amazed. I was like, wow, you can really, you know, make money by owning, you know, part of companies. I was extremely, you know, I was starstruck, I guess you would say. So I was like, wow, this is awesome. So that's when I always think about, you know, in the past, have I even heard about the stock market? And to be honest, I don't remember it, you know, having any interest or even knowing much about the stock market before I took that class. So that's when I guess my interest, you know, woke up at that point.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned you're a good saver. And would that be what you would say in regards to what you do well with money? Or is there something else that you feel that you're really good at with money?
I will say that, and a combination of that and putting money to work. So basically, mm-hmm. yeah. So basically, I, you know, I believe in having an emergency fund 100% and having money away for emergencies and anything that comes up. Like, not all your money can be tied up in investments, but I do feel that I do a good job putting the money that I do want to invest. I think I do a good job managing that. So I think that will be my, you know, one of the things that I do best.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, of course, we all have challenges with money. What would you say your challenge is?
I would say, I was thinking about this question when I saw it, and I would say it's being overly frugal or cheap, whatever you want to call it. I feel that, I don't know if it's something that I picked up growing up, because, you know, we didn't have a lot of money when I was younger. When we came from the Dominican Republic to this country, we were, you know, struggled at first. So I don't know if it comes from that, but even though I do enjoy, you know, going out with friends and stuff like that, sometimes I have a problem spending money and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, like, for example, you know, people go out to drink for drinks and to, you know, to eat all the time. Like, I have a problem doing that. Like, I try to do that maybe once a month or once every couple months, but, you know, it makes me feel a little, you know, uncomfortable. But I don't think, you know, cause life is, we should enjoy life and enjoy, you know, whatever comes in. So I would like to eventually not feel that way about, you know, about money. You know, because I feel like, I don't know, I've read all these books about how money is abundant and we should, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, you know, whatever goes away, yeah, comes back. So yeah, I think that would be one of my challenges. And also having a little bit like I guess insecurity about, you know, letting my money go from time to time, I guess.
Right. And I feel you, because I've been there, because I have been the saver. I still am, but I've, with my balance, with my husband, he's kind of mm-hmm. balanced me out, because he's quote unquote the spender. Mm-hmm. And it's helped in the sense that I realized that knowing that he was a spender, that I was a saver, that I was like, no, we can't spend, you know, for whatever reason, I was like wanting to hold on to the money all the time. No, we just can't spend that on whatever it was,
yeah.
the case may be. And I've struggled with that for a long time. And really what I found about that, why I was doing that, it just came from my upbringing. And it was that with my family, it was a humble background. So my parents always remember hearing we don't have enough money or mm-hmm. the type of thing. So I realized for me that it was that I was afraid to not have enough money. So I would just like, okay, we can't spend it. But of mm-hmm. course, like you said, there's got to be a balance. You got to enjoy life. You can't take the money with you when you go. Okay. So you definitely have a good balance. But yes, so I completely relate to that, because I have had that.
All right. I feel better now. I'm not alone in the world.
No, you're not. And I have also found that with women that tend to be savers, that's the case with them. And and especially with some of the interviews that I've done, I've seen that trend where it's like they're the savers and then they are frugal as well.
Yeah.
And, And I see that same trend. So it's interesting. And tell me about, as far as your spending habits, do you use cash, check, or credit? What's your most favorite way of paying?
My favorite way of paying is credit cards. And okay. That's going to sound weird, I guess, based on my background. But the reason why I like credit cards is because of the points that it gives. Like mm-hmm. a couple things. One is the points and also the protection that they come with. So, you know, if anything happens, you know, somebody steals your credit card number, at least the money involved is not your money, it's the bank's money. So, you know, they could figure it out and what happened to it.
Right.
But then,
right.
you know, if it's my debit card, it's like, oh my God, it's my money. Like, what happened? You know, even though, you know, there's always that protection anyway, you know, with the banks, but still. And also the points, I love to travel, but I like to do it, you know, as frugally as possible. So I use my points, you know, to go to different places, you know, and I've been able to get like my plane ticket, you know, way less than a regular price, for example. So I pretty much just try to collect as much points as possible for traveling. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why I use my credit card for the most part.
Right. And I hear you. I know a lot of people go, oh no, but the credit card, I think I'm sure you would agree with me, it really all depends on yourself and your spending habits. And you know that, I'm sure that you paid off at the end of the month.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably tracking your expenses. You know how much you spend, and you know that you're able to pay it at the end of the month. And some people, if they don't have the control, I guess mm-hmm. you can say that might not be the best word. Maybe the credit card is not best for them, yeah. But also the credit card is also good just to seeing, because they give you those charts. Oh, you've spent this mm-hmm. portion on food, or it's a good gauge, a good picture. Mm-hmm. Your bank can, depending on the bank, your bank can do that too, but it's a good picture of your spending habits as well. And you can track that with a credit card. But yeah, but like you said, the protection is definitely better than a debit card.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, those got to weigh and balance. You got to look at yourself and see, okay, how well, or, you know, as a credit card for me, or because I'm not against it. I know, for example, like Dave Ramsey, mm-hmm. he's definitely not pro credit card. I'm not against it, but I'm also, you have to really know yourself, your spending habits, those type of things.
I agree. And I think, like you said, like everybody's different. So everybody has to know what works for them. Like for some people,
absolutely.
You know, like some people can get carried away. So they, you know, maybe they should stick to debit or cash, and, you know, just to get things under control. But then, you know, other people, you know, I personally feel uncomfortable. As soon as my credit card bill is like over $1,000, I freak out. So I'm like, no, I can't. So I'm one of those people. But, you know, everybody is very different, and everybody, you know, can do what works for them and be successful at it. You know, you just have to know yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And tell me about your proudest money moment.
Yes. Okay. So, I don't think I mentioned this before on the beginning of the interview. So basically after I graduated from college, you know, instead of going into a finance, I wanted to be like a stockbroker right away. Like, you know, that was like my dream. Like, oh my God, this is where I want to be.
Uh-huh.
But what happened was that I ended up getting a job offer from an insurance company. Even before I left, like my first semester of my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very well-known insurance company here in the States. And, you know, I told myself, you know what, like, you know, let me just take this job. You know, it's, you know, it's 100% guarantee. Let me just do this for like a year or so, and then I'll move on to what I really want to do.
Right.
Well, a year and change turned into 9 years.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. I was in insurance for 9 years, and I could, you know, every year I was thinking, oh my God, like, you know, next year I'm done. Next year I'm moving on. But it, you know, I got comfortable and it didn't happen. But what I was doing though, on my free time and even, you know, whenever I had a chance, because I'm obsessed with investing, was, you know, you know, I would educate myself. You know, I read about it, do it myself. I started an MBA degree throughout my, you know, while working in insurance. So I would go to school in the evening, and then during the day I would, you know, work my regular job.
Wow.
But during all this time, I was preparing myself to switch careers. You know, I told myself, you know, at one point or another, I don't want to be 50, 60 years old or whatever and wake up and tell myself, wow, I've been in insurance for, you know, 40, 50 years in an industry that, you know, I'm grateful for all that I learned, but it wasn't something
that I wanted. It wasn't your passion.
No, not at all. You know, I'm grateful for the friendships that I made and everything. But it wasn't where my heart was. So I was, you know, like I told you, I'm a big saver. So I just saved, you know, all this, you know, as much as I could, you know, even though I had school to worry about and, you know, expense, you know, when I ended up getting an apartment in the middle of all of that. So I had all these expenses, but, I was saving for, you know how some people save for like a house or a car? I was saving for my freedom.
That is awesome.
I guess I would say that I could say that way. Like, I guess that's the best way I could explain it. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to have a cushion so that when I'm ready to make the leap out, you know, whatever happens, I'll be okay. So last year, I finally finished my MBA degree in May.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. It was, I can't even remember how I got through that. It was like 4 years of struggle.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, working and an MBA, hello, that is, well, I can't imagine.
I can't even tell you, you know, how in the world that happened.
But you just did it.
I just did it. So I decided to quit my job in corporate insurance, and it was scary. I had to be honest with you. You know, I ended up, what happened was I got an internship with a company that in investing for that summer right after graduation. So it's actually the company that I work for now as an analyst. I get to work from home for them, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Which it turned out good, thank God. But when I quit that job, it was scary. And I even told my parents, and even though I think they have faith in me and they didn't really tell me anything like, you know, what are you doing? I could sense it. You know how Latino families are, you know?
Yes.
Like, what do you mean? What are you going? Like, you have a job, like, you know. Just
right. The stability. You know?
Yes, I could already sense that that's maybe that what they were thinking. But I was like, you know, I kind of owe it to myself to like try this out and see what the future holds for me. And so, you know, I guess bringing it back to the question, which I kind of did hear from like my proudest money moment was the fact that I was able to walk away from that job and pursue my dreams without any fear.
That is beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it takes determination, obviously hard work, which you definitely put in, and just the discipline that you had. So that is awesome. So kudos and congrats to you.
Thank you.
And tell me like about your favorite money book.
Okay, so this is a book I recommend every time somebody asks me this question. It's The Automatic Millionaire.
Yes.
David Beck, I think his name is. Yeah.
Yes. I have that. And he has various versions for women, for couples, for, I don't know, I think even probably business owners. I think it's the same concept that he teaches. He just kind of tweaks the book a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. But yeah, the first book that I ever read was that one. And I read that book when I was 21. And I think that's where, like I mentioned earlier, that my best money advice, where it came from. I think it came from that book. Like, I think even if I didn't realize it, I think he kind of like brainwashed me in a good way about, you know, start early, you know, and try to, you know, invest early and save early. So I think, yeah, that's definitely my favorite book on personal finance.
It's a good one. Basically, the key was obviously starting early and automating.
Automation
is huge. It's such a time saver too.
It is. Yes. Great.
So, Mabel, as you know, this podcast is all about making money simple and taking control of it. How would you finish this sentence? Her money matters because?
Because you owe it to yourself to lead the life of your dreams.
Love it. Well, that was fun, Mabel. I'm so happy I got to introduce you to the Her Money Matters audience. And I'd like, if you are game, to have you back so you can share your expertise. Because today we got to know you and know about your story, but I'd really love to have your expertise and tips about investing and things, you know, because you focus on women. So I definitely would love to have you have back. So if you're game, I would love to. Sound good?
Jen, that's what I wanted. I'm so excited about this because that's what I want to do. I want to get the word out there that, you know, people think it's complicated. It's too much work. Like, I want to show all the women out there that it's not and that they can do it too. So I'll be more than happy to be back on your show.
Awesome.
For sure.
Awesome. So we'll set that up.
Yeah.
And tell us, where is the best place for people to find you and learn more about you?
I think for now, I guess Facebook. I have you can find me through my Facebook page, I guess, facebook.com/girlsonthemoney.
Okay.
Also, or through email as well. Anybody out there that wants to reach out or say hello, girlsandthemoney@gmail.com. I don't know if you guys have a Twitter account. Oh, actually, Twitter, yeah, Girls on the Money. So
okay. Well, I'll be sure to post those links. And I know you have, if I can say, a Facebook group.
Yes.
And I'll make sure to put that because she gives some great tips. And I know I follow you on Instagram, so you've got tips on. But I'll just make sure to link those up in the show notes for people to find you. So, again, thank you so much, Mabel, for being here, for sharing about you. It's fun getting to know you. And I'm telling you, I've been talking to millennials, and you all millennials really are just rock stars for sure.
Thank you, Jen. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much. And we'll go ahead and set up afterwards another time to talk.
All right, cool.
Sounds all good. Right. Thanks. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was an awesome conversation with Mabel, or as I say, Mabel. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I wanted to tell you real quick that and share with you this story, because recently I did some sessions where I didn't charge anything. It was just a limited amount of sessions. But the idea of this was just for me to give back because I like to, and it's this 'tis the season to be giving, right? To be generous. So that's one of the reasons I did that. And also I wanted to do this to help you finish strong in 2015. We know money can be overwhelming. It can be stressful. And I wanted to alleviate that as much as I could. So in these sessions, what we did was we discussed the challenges. I gave some action steps to take just based on what was most pressing for the individual. And I had this one particular call with this beautiful lady, and I had it on a Friday. Okay. That's the key thing. I had it on a Friday, and by Sunday, she already had emailed me what she had gotten done, which was a significant portion of what I challenged with you. I kid you not. And it really completely made my weekend. And I know she doesn't want me to mention her name, but you know who you are. I wanted to celebrate you, give you a shout out, on all that you got, you know, what you got accomplished. You immediately just took action, and that is just awesome. And just so you know that I truly believe in you, I know you can do this, and you're going to accomplish so much more. Sometimes for any of us, it just takes a little bit of guidance, a point in the right direction, some accountability, and that is all I did in these sessions. So personal finance in general is not hard. We just make it that way because of everything else we have going on, and in that head of ours, it just kind of fogs up everything. So just having someone to point us in the right direction and hold us accountable makes a huge, huge difference. I wanted to challenge you with something today. Speaking of these sessions that I did, speaking of that we only have, or we still have, I should say, not only, but we still have 2 months left in 2015. I wanted to challenge you with asking yourself, what is that one thing, just one thing, what is that one thing you can do for your personal finances that is going to allow you to finish strong? Is it figuring out where your money is going? Is it starting that savings account where you put money in for gifts that you've been wanting to do? So that way you go when one of your kids has a birthday party or the holidays come about, it's just easier to shop for the gifts because the money's there. Is it maybe putting away more money towards your retirement? Or is it figuring out a way to make more income? What is that one thing for you? It could be something else that I didn't mention. So when the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve, what is that one thing that will make you happy you did? Because you know that will mean that 2016, you'll be starting even stronger with your money. One of the ways that will help you gain that clarity so you can figure out where your money is going, so you can start that savings account for the gifts that I mentioned, so you can put more money away for retirement, so you can figure out how much more income you need to live on, to live the life, actually not live on, but live the life that you want, is my Jumpstart Your Money Mini Guide. That is just definitely one way that you can do that. And this mini guide will give you a place to start. It will give you a clean slate so you can move forward from the overwhelm that money makes you feel. All you have to do to get this mini guide is there's two ways. You can either text the word mini guide to 33444. That's again, you text the word mini guide to 33444. That is only available for those of you in the United States. Sorry. But for anybody else, either the US or outside of the US, you can also go to the show notes that can be found by going to JenHempel/21. So that is a wrap for today. I wanted to thank Mabel, or as I say, Mabel, for being with us, for being so transparent, for sharing her story. And just be sure to go to the website, to jenhempel.com/21, so you can find where it is that you can find her at and get to know her better. And thanks for listening. And I will talk to you next Thursday.